Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Here are your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lowell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Back for another great episode. I am your host, Jeff Carrier, and by my side is Seth Lull, and we are back to talk and break down the NFL 2018 offseason moves. It is just about free agency signing period. We are actually recording this the day before people are actually able to sign. However, we know we're just about where everyone is going to go, Seth, or where they're intended on going. So we wanted to get a jump start on that and start breaking down the 2018 offseason. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we're also going to break down a mock draft, one of the mock drafts that CBS Sports has recently done as well. They're putting out some good content, and we wanted to kind of have an open discussion in terms of some of their picks and where players are going right now. There's no time that's too early to talk about fantasy football, and you know that, especially if you're listening to this right now. So, Seth, my first question is, the last episode that we had in the offseason, we talked about the most hyped team that we thought that we weren't buying into. We both selected the San Francisco 49ers. Now, there's been a lot of moves, changes since then. Who is your current team, if it's not still the 49ers, on being the most hyped team that you're not buying into?
I am going to go, and I'm picking this team based on what I'm assuming is going to be the eventual hype that's going to start building as the season progresses. And I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. No Alex Smith, and he never got enough. I don't know if he was underrated or overrated. He's one of those weird quarterbacks where sometimes you felt like he wasn't getting enough love, considering how consistent he was. And sometimes you felt like he was a little bit overrated. He was a game manager, couldn't get him over the hump. So with Pat Mahomes taking over as a starting quarterback, I think they are going to be seen as an up-and-coming young team. He's got a ton of weapons. Travis Kelce, they added Sammy Watkins, they have Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt in his second season. So I think people are going to be really high on Kansas City, both in real life and fantasy, because they've always been a really good regular season team with Alex Smith. And I think a lot of people, even though Pat Mahomes is just going to be a second-year quarterback, first-year starter, I think a lot of people are going to look at them and say, he's going to be the difference with no Alex Smith there to get them over the hump. So I'm going to go Kansas City. I think as the season gets closer, the hype train is going to pick up momentum, and people are going to be getting a little bit carried away with the Chiefs.
Wow. I would not have thought of that as a team. I think that's a very good and logical one, where you're coming from. That would not have been easily in my top two. My number one, and it's kind of funny, I don't know how it's possible for a team that did not win one game in the season to be overhyped going into the following season, but clearly that's where we are with the Cleveland Browns. People are standing up and applauding all of the moves that Cleveland Browns have done. We talked about it off the air a couple days ago, Seth, and you even misspoke a little bit to say that, you know, in terms of what they had potential just in their own division, and I quickly had you backpedaling on that statement. But the truth is, I was listening to just some generic online serious NFL conversations, and everyone, including the host, people calling in, really think that these people have a shot at being at least second in their division. Really not overtaking the Steelers, but you know, second is a very viable option. I'm not buying into anything that Cleveland is doing. Have we all forgotten that Cleveland has had many opportunities to dig themselves out of this hole and just has not happened? Everyone is calling to the fact of all the free agency moves that they've done. Well, they've done that for the last couple of years as well, and that they've had two first-round picks. Granted, they're both extremely high at one and number three, but did they not have two first-round moves when they picked Brandon Whedon? You know, when they picked a quarterback as one of their first-round picks, did they not have two first-round picks when they also had Johnny Manziel selected as well? So I understand it might be a different, quote-unquote, GM, but this is still the Cleveland Browns, and people still have to remember they won zero games last year, and they're not going to all of a sudden be a 9-win team. I'm sorry.
See, with Cleveland, I don't think they have a chance at overtaking Pittsburgh, obviously. But I do think that division's vulnerable because the Ravens still have Flacco. The Bengals are bringing back Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton. We know the situation there. So I think the second spot in that division is there for the taking. Buffalo has made a lot of great moves on paper. We know the games aren't played on paper, but like you said, we got to remember that they still have a lot of draft picks and they have a lot of cap space. So the story is far from, you know, being finished writing. That's a Jeff Carrier saying right there.
That's a Jeffism if I've ever heard one.
Exactly. But they have John Dorsey, new GM, so I'm not going to blame him for the moves that the previous regime made. I think very much, I don't think this is a playoff team, but I think that Tyrod Taylor brings stability to the most important position in all of sports, where they've had the most turnover-prone quarterbacks in the NFL. And adding Jarvis Landry will help. Getting a full season out of Josh Gordon will help. If they draft someone like a Saquon Barkley in the early first round, like that'll help too. So I think that Cleveland's going to make a considerable move forward. They're not going to go from 0 wins to 10, but I think 6-7 wins is very much on the table for the Browns.
I don't know. We'll see as we get closer. You know, we already know all the big moves that we're about to get into here with free agency. So I there's not these other studs that are just lying around that they're going to be able to go and buy. So, you know, we'll get back to that. We'll get back to some of their players when it gets closer to free agency with the Jarvis Landrys and Josh Gordons, where they're going. I still think they have several holes on defense at multiple levels. And they still have Hugh Jackson. Can we all please remember that this guy somehow is able to coach a team to one victory over 2 years? And now you're going to say that he's going to seven times his win ratio in 1 year just because he got Tyrod Taylor?
Do you think, and I think I know what your answer is going to be, but do you in any way see any similarities between the jump that Jacksonville made from 2016 to 2017, going from 3-13 to 10-6? To this Cleveland team, do you think that, like Jacksonville, they can make a jump, you know, 7 wins?
Let's talk about the most obvious difference on the 2016 team to the 2017. Coach. Doug Marrone won, what, 2 out of his 3 last games, final games in 2016? Coached all of 2017. They also brought in some off-season juggernauts in, like, A.J. Bouye. So...
Better up-and-coming young defense. We kind of saw it coming. So I agree. I just want to see what your answer was.
Yep. Okay, so before we get into free agent moves, their impacts, Seth, you got a pretty exhaustive list for us. We were fortunate enough, Seth, much to our surprise once again, to get featured in an online article as a top podcast out there for 2018. Top 20 out of all podcasts, best podcasts according to LifeWire. They're all in up-and-coming tech, a really big company there. And very fortunate, we got listed number 11 in front of gigantic podcasts of like S-Town and all these other gigantic ones. I don't know how that happened, Seth, but my sneaky suspicion is that this person, this writer, must have won a championship because of us last year. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, well, we know they aren't, you know, complimenting us based on our looks or our personality, right? We had to have helped them win fantasy matchups and championships. That's the only thing that would make sense. Otherwise, why would you compliment us?
But very grateful to once again be featured. Last year, Seth and I was a top 10 fantasy football podcast on the Athlon Sports website. This year, we're featured on LifeWire, so go check them out at LifeWire.com. But Seth, let's go ahead and start getting into these free agency moves.
Yeah, I think that we'll start with quarterbacks. I mean, I think the most intriguing part about this entire offseason in the NFL is the quarterback carousel, which is taking place right now. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know, you know, we're both in our 30s. I don't know if you can remember a year where there's been more young, I guess a lot of these semi-young starting quarterbacks just floating around and going from one team to another, especially when they had success with their previous team. You just don't see quarterbacks switching jerseys in the offseason very often. So we'll start with probably the biggest domino to fall. And he wasn't the first quarterback to sign with a new team, but Kirk Cousins, the the quarterback, the prize of the free agent quarterback market, signing with Minnesota. You have Case Keenum signing with Denver. Tyrod Taylor obviously getting traded to Cleveland. Sam Bradford signing with Arizona. Josh McCown re-signing with the Jets, leaving Buffalo Bills as really the only obvious team in need of a quarterback right now. And it looks like Teddy Bridgewater and A.J. McCarron are the two, really the only two obvious viable options outside of, you know, the draft. They can go the rookie option and draft a quarterback in the draft. But A.J. McCarron, Teddy Bridgewater, one of those seems likely to go to Buffalo. What is your take on this quarterback frenzy? I mean, like, have you seen anything like this before?
Yeah, and I appreciate you just throwing my age out there like that, just, you know, just out in the wind. You know, I was trying to keep that close to the vest, Seth. Not that it's too astronomically of a bad age, but
no, 30s is the best age because it's you're old enough to be taken seriously, but you're still young enough to I guess not be old, right? I consider 30s is like the prime. We're early 30s. We're not mid-30s, we're early 30s.
So. I guess I have some people that I need to inform that they need to be taking me seriously then, if you need to start being taken serious in your 30s. Then.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, we are talking about fantasy football. We are talking about fantasy football. But you have a really good point, because a lot of these quarterbacks, not only are they getting a lot of money in this day and age, but they are seen as potential, you know, I don't know if franchise is the right word. Maybe Kirk Cousins is the only one that potentially fits that bill, even though he only got 3 years. But they are clear, like, starters. Like, how many times could you, like, to your point, can you go out and say, yeah, we're going to go get our quarterback in free agency for the next couple to several years worth? Usually you might get someone on the back end, or you have to fill in someone like a Josh McCown or Jay Cutler. So there's no real viable excitement. Even someone like Denver has some excitement with Case Keenum. So I think it's been a very exciting quarterback free agency on top of what looks like to be, you know, from what the experts are saying, a pretty good and viable quarterback rookie draft that's coming out with looks like at least four quarterbacks to go in the first round. So we've been, you know, talking about the quarterbacks in the NFL for a while and how many bad ones there are. There's been a lot of good turnovers the last few years with the Jared Goff and Carson Wentz's and Andrew Luck a few years ago, and even Derek Carr. I think we're really starting to see you know, a leaf being turned here in terms of newer, younger quarterbacks and kind of the next realm of quarterbacks.
I mean, outside of Josh McCown, all of the other quarterbacks are 30 years old or younger, and they're all coming off pretty decent seasons. I mean, Sam Bradford missed most of the season with an injury, but he was playing great before he got injured. Kirk Cousins is coming off, what, two really good seasons. Case Keenum is coming off a career year, taking the Vikings to the NFC Championship game. Tyrod Taylor, I mean, has been a solid starter for the past two seasons with Buffalo, with very little weapons around him. So I think it's very surprising, number one, at the age of these quarterbacks. They're very young. And we didn't even mention Drew Brees re-signing with the Saints, but that was kind of a, you know, a foregone conclusion. But not only are these guys young and in their prime, but they're also coming off successful seasons for the most part. So it shows to me that teams are not willing to stick with the status quo. Teams are realizing that the quarterback they have isn't good enough to get them over the hump. Like Case Keenum, Minnesota, perfect example. They said, you know what? We want a quarterback that can get us to the next level. Case Keenum is not the guy. You know, same thing with Buffalo, not staying with Tyrod Taylor. I think another fascinating part of this is, you know, obviously free agency, this is coming before the draft. Like you said, there's four, you know, a lot of people think there's four really good quarterbacks that are going to be taken in the early part of the first round. Do they elect to go the quarterback route in the draft, or do they sign one of these big free agents? Because they're committing a lot of money to these free agents, especially in the case of Keenum and Cousins. So I think that's fascinating, you know, what these teams are doing, you know, as far as, you know, decisions as far as what they're going to do with the quarterback position.
Yeah, and you know, one quarterback is beloved on, is welcome to his team, like Kirk Cousins, who could not, you know, gain the trust and confidence that he was a quarterback in Washington, and then the same thing happened with Case Keenum. You know, so it's everyone has – it's just funny watching, like, Kirk Cousins not being able to stay in Washington and Minnesota absolutely welcome him in, and then the same with Case Keenum leaving for Denver. But let's target just a couple of these here in terms of a fantasy perspective. What are your thoughts? Are you going to be buying into their situation? We're going to have to forecast their stock a little bit here, and their, you know, not necessarily pick their draft position, but where we think their stock is going to be. Are you buying in? Are you not? Let's start with the biggest name. Do you like the Kirk Cousins spot landing? And are you going to be buying into what you, what your projected hype is?
Absolutely. All day with Kirk Cousins. I mean, number one, we just saw Sam Bradford and Case Keenum just absolutely become world beaters last season. With that offense, we've talked about it plenty of times. I think we both agree. Minnesota, if they don't have the most talented players at the skill position, you know, collection of skill position players, they're definitely in the top three. When you look at Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, Kyle Rudolph, and the running backs, they got a ton of talent there. So number one, we've seen two average quarterbacks have Pro Bowl type seasons in Minnesota, right? And number two, Cousins, you know, is leaving a place where he dealt with a lot of injuries. I mean, Jordan Reed couldn't get on the field. They lost Chris Thompson. They lost Samaje Perine. Terrell Pryor really couldn't get on the field and be productive. They lost a couple players of free agency in DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon. Josh Doctson was a second-year receiver. So he had nothing to work with in Washington, still put up pretty good numbers, and now he's going to a better situation in Minnesota. Just a better organization, and we've seen a proven track record of other average quarterbacks having great seasons.
Yeah, this would be very interesting if this is kind of one of those, I don't know how long Drew Brees was in San Diego before he left for New Orleans, but right around the same age, right? You know, was there for quite a few years, and then left and spent a lot of time in, obviously, New Orleans. So I'm on the same page with you. Now, I don't think there's any reason to think Kirk Cousins can't be a very viable fantasy quarterback. We just saw Case Keenum do that in Minnesota. Has some of the best offensive weapons in the game. So I don't know if I'm going to end up with him. It's still way too early to talk about that. You know, because his stock could be. There's a lot of times there's someone that you like, but sometimes their stock's still a little bit out of reach. If you know what I mean. He could be that category, but I mean, I'm going to like him. And then I'm going to hope I guess I have a few shares of them.
And I also think it's very telling that Minnesota, it seemed like they were never really interested in Keenum. And I know neither one of us are really plugged into the Vikings organization, but it just seemed from the outside looking in that they were never really going to be in the market to keep Keenum. So the fact that they were willing to move on from Keenum, having the year that he had and going right for Cousins the day before it's, you know, they can make it official to sign him. It's pretty telling. Like, I think they see Cousins as a significant upgrade to Keenum. So, you know, we'll read into that what we will, but I think that that's pretty clear from the outside looking in.
All right, and the next person, Seth, that I want to talk about is the next person with the second highest average annual salary and probably the most overpaid quarterback of all time, even higher than Jamarcus Russell. That's Mr. Sam Bradford, right? He was the last quarterback to come out of the class that could get the full boat contract before they went into that rookie wage scale in the rookie draft. He goes from the Rams where he never played, and I don't know if he was signed free agency or traded to the Eagles. He goes to the Eagles, signs another decent contract there, gets traded for a first rounder to Minnesota. He's getting paid over there, and then he signs another $20 million deal for 1 year to Arizona. He's only 30 years old, which is crazy. He has accomplished nothing in his life, like many other 30-year-olds, but he's still getting $20 million contracts. I guess to some degree, I understand slightly, but not to the full degree of $20 million. Either way, I don't know what his stock's going to be, but I just know I'm going to be off. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, you can't love it. I mean, just look at his injury history alone and the fact that he's not reliable. I mean, that's number one. Number two, he's leaving a team like we just talked about with all those weapons for a team in Arizona that has a 90-year-old Larry Fitzgerald, who's still very good, but he's really old, and David Johnson coming off an injury. That's all they have to work with. Not to mention they had the 31st offensive line according to Pro Football Focus last season. Just an abysmal offensive line. I mean, Minnesota's was middle of the pack, but Arizona was ranked only ahead of Houston. So, and they surrendered 217 total pressures, the second most in the NFL. So a quarterback that can't stay healthy is going to a team with, you know, most likely, unless they do something drastic to fix the situation, a bad offensive line and very, very subpar players at the skill positions, and they don't have Bruce Arians anymore. So I don't know. On paper, the fit I don't love, and Sam Bradford can't be trusted. You can't rely on him. So I think he's going to be a borderline undraftable player in two quarterback leagues. You're probably hoping that he's your third quarterback, best case scenario.
Right, just because at least in a third quarterback scenario, if he is healthy, then you know he might have some upside. He might provide some value. The deal for Arizona, I get it. It's a 1 year, it's $20 million.
You think bridge quarterback.
Bridge quarterback. You're going to go out. You're going to get a quarterback in the first round. If Sam Bradford can stay healthy all year, great. He's going to be worth $20 million. If he can't, then you know you're only on the hook for 1 year, and hopefully Arizona is going to do whatever they can to get their quarterback in the first round. Now, let's move on to a much more interesting quarterback, I think, in terms of fantasy, and that is Mr. Case Keenum. He was a fantasy hero for a lot of us, including myself, Seth, last year, coming off of free agency. We had a lot of quarterbacks last year, seemingly, you know, at the bottom of the barrel, the Jared Goffs of the world, Alex Smith, Case Keenum coming off free agency, that really provided a lot of production for a lot of fantasy teams. Case Keenum's obviously not going to go underneath the radar this year. Heading out to Denver is going to have Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas. What is your take with Case Keenum? Do you like his prospects there? Are you going to be buying into what your projected value is in him?
No, I'm not. I don't know what his, you know, what people are going to be expecting. Are they going to be expecting the Case Keenum in Minnesota, or is a slight decline going to be built into his ADP? Because I think without a doubt, Denver, you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record here. I've been saying it for like three times in the last 10 minutes. Minnesota had one of the best collections of talent, you know, in the NFL. Denver, they have two really good receivers, but it's still a borderline significant step down in talent from Minnesota, you know, factoring everything in. So, and it's a new team. So, and we've never seen Case Keenum do this before. We know what he did last year. He's 30 years old. It's not like last year was, you know, his second year in the NFL. He struggled when he was with the Rams, and maybe we'll give him a pass because Jeff Fisher was the quarterback, but he also struggled when he was in Houston. It was his third stop. So I think the jury is very much still out on Case Keenum. So, you know, with that being said, I don't think there's going to be a ton of hype that's going to follow him into the season. I think people are going to be looking at him as a step above Sam Bradford territory, but he is way below Kirk Cousins. I look at him more in the range of a Josh McCown.
Wow. Interesting. I'm glad I let you go first just because maybe I didn't have a very good pulse on the Case Keenum scenario. From hearing you talk, I think that a lot of people are going to be in a very similar mindset as you. And I think what it sounds like is that I might be a little bit in the Case Keenum bandwagon. And you know what? That probably should not surprise most people. If you had Case Keenum last year, then you probably paid a little bit more or closer attention to him in his games. And you maybe have a little, you know, what do they call it? Like, kind of like a recency bias. If you had a player last year that really burned you, you kind of stay away from him the following year. Kind of exact opposite happens if someone had done really well. That being said, most leagues out there, Seth, don't really penalize the quarterback a whole lot. So Case Keenum definitely is one that can make mistakes. If you're in a league where it's more about chucking and just, you know, it's pretty favorable to quarterbacks, I kind of like Keenum for your bench quarterback or your – what I like to do a lot of times in two quarterback leagues is I get like two bad ones, and I say one of them is going to figure it out. And I think he fits that kind of category for me. I see him as significantly ahead of Sam Bradford and significantly ahead of Josh McCown. I think he's got better weapons, and – here's the sneaky part. He actually is a pretty good runner. His floor on running is anywhere from 20 to 50 yards a game. He's pretty sneaky at running. So I know that sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, dude, especially with these four points for passing touchdown leads and negative two for interceptions, these more running quarterbacks really elevate their floor. Look at what Tyrod Taylor has been able to do for the last several years. Think about what Tyrod Taylor's done in his scoring and kind of think of it a little bit differently as just a white version of him and Case Keenum.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know where to start with that. I mean, he had one game with 40 rushing yards, you know, and no games besides that with over 30 rushing yards. I mean, Tyrod Taylor, you know, had what, two games over 50 yards rushing. He had four games over 30 yards rushing.
A little
much,
bit more,
much better. I mean, and only one rushing touchdown for Case Keenum.
I didn't say he's rushing in touchdowns. I'm just saying he's moving around.
Yeah, I mean. Okay, so I wouldn't really factor that in too much. I mean, I get it. Like, it's bonus. You look at it as bonus points. I don't know. Number one, I'm not really buying into what we saw out of Keenum last year. And I think part of that is, you know, how good the team he had around him was. But I do think he's going to be – I think he's a relatively low-risk option, relatively low risk. I just wonder – Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what to think of Case Keenum. It's early. I put him much closer to Josh McCown than Kirk Cousins. I don't know what that's saying, but I look at Josh McCown, who is a pretty
I think that's like fair statements. Yeah, I don't know how to rate that. Like, obviously he's not anywhere in the Kirk Cousins realm. I guess from hearing you talk about Case Keenum, it makes me say, hey, you know what? This might be a person that might be in the value territory for me, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, and I look at him in a two quarterback league. I'd want him as my second quarterback, you know, or you know, if I'm lucky enough, have him as my third quarterback, depending on how the ball bounces. But I could see it going both ways. I think he's a safe option. I don't see him having a horrific year, but I also don't think we're going to see, you know, the Case Keenum that we saw last season, which is probably pretty obvious.
Yeah, and he only had 22 passing touchdowns and 7 interceptions, so it's not like he lit the world on fire or anything like that. And there's a couple games he didn't play because Sam Bradford played at least one and a half game, so he almost
played. And it was a little deceiving, too. You know, and we talked about this the other day. He had the game in Cincinnati where they were just blowing Cincinnati out. I think it was the Dalton had like 5 interceptions. So he didn't really have to throw the ball that game. They played Green Bay late in the season. Same situation. He didn't have to throw the ball. So his last 4 weeks were pretty light in terms of production, but it wasn't because he was playing bad. It was just they were winning so easily. His team was so good. He didn't have to really throw the ball. But the way that he finished, I mean, does the way that he finished the season in Philadelphia, does that worry you at all moving forward? The fact that that's the last bitter taste we're going to have in our mouth from watching Case Keenum?
No, what worries me the most is the coaching staff and the talent out in Denver. It's dramatically different than Minnesota. They don't have the offensive minds. It doesn't seem like, you know, I don't know much about Vance Joseph, but it seems like they want to play a little bit more on the conservative running side, defensive side. So that's obviously not going to help them out. All that being said, we've spent a lot of time on Case Keenum. Let's move on. It sounds like you'll be a little bit lower than him. I might be a little bit higher. It will be tough. It'll be interesting to see where his actual ADP comes in.
Let's breeze through the last two here. Okay. I mean, Josh McCown, not much to say, right?
No, nope.
We saw him last year. I think he's a solid pick. I would love to have him. If you're gonna skimp on quarterbacks in a two quarterback league, or in a one quarterback league, if you're one of those people that likes to wait to the very end, Josh McCown's a pretty solid guy to have. And they're gonna have a lot of cap space. Hopefully, put some pieces around him. So I like Josh McCown. Anything you want to add to that?
I just think that if you get Josh McCown, it's kind of like getting Sam Bradford in many ways, where it's just you're planning on getting another starter. Don't get like a pure backup player. Like, actually get another starter, because Josh McCown has never played more than 13 games in a season in his career, and that was last year. So he's going to break down at some point.
Yep.
And then the other one, I guess, is Tyrod Taylor. Besides his floor on running, I've always liked Tyrod Taylor, but that's because he's always been in Buffalo and people have always overlooked him. Now, apparently, he's in Cleveland and they got Jarvis Landry and Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman, and everyone is so high on this entire team that I'm anticipating him on being extremely overvalued and I'm just going to be staying away.
Yeah, I think it depends on the league that you're in and how savvy the other players in your league are. If people might look at it and say, hey, it's Cleveland, like I'm not interested at all. And some people might say, oh, well, he's got Josh Gordon and Jarvis Landry and, you know, potentially Saquon Barkley. Who knows? But I agree. In general, I'm not too psyched on Tyrod Taylor. I don't think his fantasy stock, you know, took a hit or got a bump from that trade. I think it's going to be the same.
It's going to be the same, but the public perception might not be the same, and that's what I'm worried about. And let's everyone remember, if you're listening to the NFL Talking Heads, there's a few things that we definitely abide by. And one of those is we try and to avoid bad offenses at all costs as just kind of a blanket statement. No matter what, I'd rather have the second and third wide receiver out in Green Bay or New England than number one out in Cleveland. And these last several years, when you talk about the Jacksonvilles, even Jacksonville last year, I mean, was there someone that really was that you had to go out and draft? No, you go out and pick them up from free agency if they happen to start playing well. Same with Cleveland. Same with these other teams that have had horrendous offenses. Let them prove you wrong first, kind of like Jared Goff did last year. And then you're going to have a lot more of a trust authority, I guess. And you're not going to be having such a miss, I guess, when it comes to the draft as well. So Cleveland, to me, is still in that blanket category of not touching.
Yep. For the time being, I would probably agree. Outside of running backs, Saquon Barkley, I'm going to say his name again. If he goes to Cleveland, you got to love that. He's going to be the be all end all.
Does he vault to a top 10 pick, though?
Nope. But I'd still like to own him, though.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, if he's in the top 10 pick, we're going to be shitting on that.
Agreed.
All right, let's go to one of my players that I like a lot that went to a pretty good landing spot. I'm fairly excited about. I'm going to be very curious to see where his value and his ADP is. And that is Mr. Allen Robinson. Always been kind of a fan of him. He is just one of the... He was actually able to be good in Jacksonville. He was kind of like the outside the norm in terms of talking about avoiding these really bad teams. He goes to the Bears. Now, Seth, a lot of people might be saying, well, isn't the Bears in that category? No, we can't do that because they don't have John Fox anymore. They're a whole new team, at least offensive fantasy-wise.
You and the Bears. I just don't get it. Every single year, it's you and the Bears, no matter what.
You think I want to like the Bears?
Yes.
I hate John Fox.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the move. I think I like it better than him being in Jacksonville. But he did have one really good season in Jacksonville, and then he got injured early last season. So I don't know. I like Allen Robinson. I think talent wise, I think a lot of people have said this. He's probably a top. If you look at just pure talent and ability, he's probably a top five receiver right now in terms of just pure talent. But obviously, Trubisky has to make some strides forward. Trubisky has to have a good year. New coach, you know, they're going to probably throw the ball down the field more, open it up a little bit. They added, you know,
who is their coach, by the way?
Taylor Gabriel as well. Nagy from Kansas City.
Right. So I like Trubisky. Maybe that's playing a little bit of a role into this. I think he can get the ball to the wide receiver. We saw him have a couple decent games when he was allowed to throw the ball with virtually no wide receivers. I'm not going to take, you know, Kevin White to be any sort of weapon at all. I'm not going to count him. Cameron Meredith is coming off of, a similar injury, right, to Allen Robinson. Did he have an ACL as well? So their wide receiver core is completely up in the air because of injuries. It could be a really good situation, could be a really bad situation. But let's just assume that everyone is healthy. They have Trubisky. They've got Jordan Howard. They got a playmaker in the backfield in Tariq Cohen. and they have an offensive-minded head coach. I like the situation. And I'm not anticipating Allen Robinson to be going in the first two rounds as well, so I'm kind of playing that as part of my reasoning of liking the situation and his value.
He might not go in the first five rounds.
Great. Like him even more.
Yeah.
All right, who's next on the list?
For receivers, we'll breeze by some of these. I mean, there's very few that are relevant for fantasy this early, especially this early. Amendola going to Miami, Dante Moncrief staying in the division but going to the Jags. Jarvis Landry, obviously. Yep, Jarvis Landry traded to Cleveland.
All right, let's talk about this one for a quick second. You know what? A top five wide receiver in PPR last year. Just done extremely well in Miami out of the slot. Goes to Buffalo. I don't know what kind of passing game they're going to have, especially with Tyrod Taylor there. But I would have to imagine because of his production last year, which was extremely good, he's still going to be highly valued, right? So
yeah.
if that's the case, I'm probably going to have to be off the bandwagon because, let's face it, he's in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be off the bandwagon for Jarvis Landry. I just think that, I mean, we'll see what happens. It's a little too sketchy for me. I do think that he's going to go later because he's in Cleveland too, though. So we'll see how far he drops.
People are loving this Cleveland situation. I'm telling you, they're just eating it up.
Yeah, if that's the case, then I'm going to be off. And it's early for ADPs, obviously, but he's not going in the first three rounds. If he does, that's outrageous. I think he's a fifth, sixth round receiver. That's where, you know, it's early, but that's where I would kind of slot him. Some other receivers, Paul Richardson going to Washington, and what was probably the worst receiver signing so far. I think we can both agree, right?
Yeah, this is as bad as
over 3 years.
Yeah, this is as bad as a move as I've seen since when the Rams gave money to Kenny Britt. I mean, or no, it was the Cleveland that gave money to Kenny Britt, right? Yep. Anyone giving money to Kenny
Britt. I just don't know
Britt.
What Washington's doing. They refuse to pay Kirk Cousins. They go and trade for Alex Smith. They let go of these receivers, Pierre Garçon, DeSean Jackson, and then they make the most awful signings with Terrell Pryor, who proved to be a complete bust. And now they go and sign Paul Richardson. I don't know what they've seen in him that we've missed, but pretty bad signing. Sammy Watkins going to the Chiefs. He can't do worse than he did with the Rams. He was a complete disappointment with the Rams in an offense that, you know, everyone else around him was flourishing. Watkins just couldn't find his groove with the Rams. So I think he's going to be overhyped because it's Kansas City and they're going to be a trendy team. They're going to be a sexy team. And outside of Madden, I mean, on paper, they look like they're probably maybe a top three Madden team, right? In terms of teams you want to play with when the new Madden comes out. But in terms of fantasy, I'm not buying Sammy Watkins. I haven't to this point. I'm definitely not starting now.
Yeah, I agree. I've never been on Sammy Watkins since he came out of college. And then Paul Richardson is not even worth talking about. He's not draftable, I don't think, at this point. So
nope. I mean, he wasn't draftable before, but he was a solid, you know, free agent pickup during the season off the waiver wire.
Yeah, and is he going to be maybe like, you know, whatever, a 12th round pick right now? Maybe, whatever. I don't think at this point we're talking about 12th round picks that we have any excitement over, and he definitely doesn't fit that billing. So any other worthy names of wide receivers, or let's touch on these few running backs?
No, I mean, we can touch on some of the running backs and tight ends, the one big tight end move. Not a whole lot of activity for running backs, though. I mean, Jonathan Stewart signing with the Giants. Don't know what to make of that. I think the biggest beneficiary in that move is Carolina in general and Christian McCaffrey. I think that he takes the biggest step forward from that. I don't know what that says about the Giants, though. I don't know how big of a role he's going to have. So I'm not going to read too much into that yet. I think Jonathan Stewart's basically done in terms of fantasy. You know, he's been done for a couple of years, so I don't know. I'm assuming you agree with me on Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah, you know, I think when the Giants pick up Stewart, this happens a lot with a lot of teams, and I feel like they can't move on and fix a position correctly. Now, granted, they've kind of signed a couple young players and missed, but I don't think John Stewart solves the issue. I mean, they've signed Shane Vereen, and they had Rashard Jennings, and then they signed or they drafted two young rookies, and Paul Perkins and Wayne Gallman. And that's not even including the other guy from BC who barely touched the field, right, a few years
Andre
ago.
Andre Williams.
So I get it. You can't draft, but I still don't think John Stewart fixes the issue at hand, which is getting a quarterback, running back of the future. Dave Gettleman, I've never been a fan of whatsoever. I mean, the guy just cuts and loses Josh Norman for zero return in assets. Just one of the dumbest moves I've ever heard of in my life. So, you know, I don't like it. So doesn't move them forward. Yeah.
Yep. All right, well, it's way too much time talking about John Stewart. I mean, what are we doing right now? And you can tell it's March, right? That's our excuse. It's March.
It's March. So. We have plenty of time to get back on our game. But the only tight end move, Seth, I guess, that you were going to get to that is worth talking about is, I guess, Jimmy Graham in Green Bay. What do you make of that move?
I mean, he wasn't very good. He actually had a good season in Seattle, I guess, last season. He got off to a slow start, you know, had a really down season the year before. I don't like it. I just think that he's going to be way too hyped. We saw it with Martellus Bennett. People were going, you know, way too crazy over Martellus Bennett in Green Bay because of Aaron Rodgers, and they have such a great offense, and we just didn't really see anything come of it. You know, he's pretty disappointing. And in a position that's very shallow like tight ends, and Jimmy Graham had some really good years with New Orleans. He finished as the sixth tight end overall last season. But I just don't like it. I think he's going to be overdrafted. I think he can be better than he was last season if he can stay healthy. But I think that's the best case scenario. A little bit better than he was last season. I just don't love it.
Yeah, you know how you play DFS and Daily Fantasy and you have these certain defenses that say, hey, when any team is playing this team, you have to stream, you know, XYZ position, Cleveland against tight ends, and the Giants are a funnel defense. You play tight ends against them. Well, this is the exact thing that's happened with Green Bay over the years. Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy don't throw to the tight ends. So I don't care who's playing tight end as of right now, including Jimmy Graham. You know, I'm not interested in them because the tight end is not involved enough in the offense.
Exactly. Yeah, he's going to be very touchdown dependent. You know, he had 10 touchdowns last season in Seattle and still couldn't finish as a top five tight end. He literally had Evan Ingram in his rookie season finish with more points than Jimmy Graham. You know, I don't like it, and we know the hype that's going to surround Jimmy Graham entering the season. He is going to go as just guessing, assuming nothing crazy happens, Gronk doesn't retire, no big injuries. Jimmy Graham is going to go. He's going to be a top three tight end easily, right? You have Kelce, Gronk, Ertz, Graham. Do you think Graham goes above any of those other three tight ends? I think there's a very good chance that he does.
No, not about those three.
You don't think he goes ahead of Ertz? I think it's a very good chance that someone takes
Wentz
him.
Wentz is going to be back. Ertz is too good.
But yeah, I think it's close.
But, I mean, does he slide in as the fourth or fifth?
Ingram? Yeah.
Yeah, it could. Sure.
Rudolph?
Sure. Yeah, it could, most certainly. Yeah, so I agree. We're going to stay off of them.
Now, what about some players, you know, just overall, all positions? Any players that stick out as... You know, based on the moves we've seen so far, you say, wow, that's a player whose stock is just trending upwards, that took a big bump up. Any players that kind of jump out to you based on the moves?
Give me a second to think about this. You have a player in mind you want to start with first?
Yeah, I think one player we didn't even mention was Jordy Nelson, released by Green Bay. Kind of surprising, kind of not. I mean, he's 33 years old. He's in the twilight of his career. I think two names that I think are going to be the biggest beneficiaries, or their stock is trending upward the most. I think Davante Adams, with now no Jordy Nelson. They do have Jimmy Graham, but like you said, they don't throw to tight ends as much. I think that's a net positive for Davante Adams and Davante Adams' potential owners in fantasy. So I think Adams is going to have a lot of upside. back-to-back season with double-digit touchdowns. I think he's one, and I think the second one is Trubisky. New head coach, which is a significant upgrade for him from an offensive standpoint, and they're putting players around him. Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel. So I think Davante Adams and Mitch Trubisky to this point are the two players that I look at, and I think they, you know, Davante Adams is already going to be, you know, at the very least a top three round player. But I think right now you look at him as a middle of the second round player at a minimum. And Trubisky, I think, is going to be a sneaky quarterback that where you're going to get a lot of value when you draft him, and he has the potential to break out in his second season. So
I think those are probably the best two names that, you know, that I could say right now as well. So I completely agree with those. If I had to throw out one other name, I would say maybe Demaryius Thomas, you know, just as someone who for the last couple of years just has not had a quarterback. We know he's still a good wide receiver. I don't know his age, but he's not completely over the hill yet. He's definitely not as close to Jordy Nelson's age. Is he going to be the same wide receiver as when Peyton Manning's throwing the ball? Of course not. But he just needs someone to be able to get him the ball. And he's going to be a quarterback that we've seen happen over the last couple of years now, where Keenan Allen was falling into the third round, you know, a high volume reception kind of person. We saw DeAndre Hopkins, when he came off of his bad year, was going what in the third round, both of them last year, right? So is DT that kind of that person that's going in the third round that presents a really nice floor, but at the same time could be a sneaky top flight wide receiver? Tough to project out that high, that kind of return, but I do know that he's going to probably go at a good value.
I like it. Yeah, only 30 years old, only 5 touchdowns last season with, you know, complete garbage throwing him the football. So I think he is a solid bet to get back into, you know, if not double-digit touchdowns, he's knocking on the door and he's going to be in that general vicinity. So I like it. I think he has a chance to be a top 15 receiver this year with Case Keenum.
All right, Seth, now let's wrap up with a quick analysis on a mock draft done by CBS Sports and Fantasy, done with several of their experts. So we haven't done one ourselves, so we're going to go ahead and utilize this. This was done probably a couple weeks ago, so it's going to be kind of a good idea to get a picture of where people's thoughts are or where they were before all of free agency. So a lot of their experts, like Dave Richard, who's actually been on the show before, and many other CBS people. So I'm going to quickly give you the first round. You got to give me any shock, surprises, too high, too low scenario. I'm just going to go. They did a 12-man draft. So pick number one was Todd Gurley, then Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, David Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, Ezekiel Elliott at 6. And that might be one of the strongest top sixes, Seth, that I've seen in a while, right? And then you can give me your analysis on that. 7, mm-hmm. Odell Beckham. 8, Kamara. 9, Julio. 10, Michael Thomas. 11, Kareem Hunt. And 12, Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to split hairs and complain. I mean, I probably would have DeAndre Hopkins over David Johnson, but they're close, and David Johnson's a running back. Even Kamara, I mean, I think that's pretty low for Kamara based on what we saw last season. I might move him up over to 7 over ODB, but I mean, I could definitely see taking Zeke over him in Hopkins. I think the only thing that I look at there is Julio Jones is really, that's too high. That's too high. I mean, Julio Jones just, I don't know if he's the same player anymore. I don't know if it's losing Kyle Shanahan. I know Matt Ryan had a down year too. Julio Jones, they just can't find a way to get him the football in the end zone. I mean, 3 touchdowns last year for Julio. That's just unacceptable, and I that's what we're going to be probably be expecting moving forward from Julio. So I think Julio is not a first-round player this year, even in a 12-team league. I think you cannot take him in the top 12. So I think if I have to pick one player that I think is a real, like, that's really bad based on that mock, I think it's Julio.
Yeah, and what I completely agree. Like, I just don't want to touch him in the first round. Most of these people have the same floor as him with significant more upside. And I guess Julio does have upside. I mean, everyone in the first round has upside, but we've just seen it year in, year out, where Julio's not able to get on the same page, can't get in the end zone. He's been pretty healthy the last couple of years, so we'll give him that. But I still agree on being a little bit too high at 9 as of today. But what are your thoughts on Kareem Hunt? Kind of had two tails of a season, started off extremely hot, went dead cold for 2 months, it seemed like, and then finished off pretty hot when they gave him the ball back again. Seems to be a trend with Kansas City. You can't say that, hey, at the end of the year, they went to Matt Nagy for the play calling, and maybe, you know, he'll basically start the season where he ended off because Matt Nagy is no longer there. So Andy Reid's likely to reclaim call playing duties, and we know where his head has been week in and week out when it comes to getting his playmakers the ball. Spencer Ware still on the team, coming back from injury. Give me your thoughts on Kareem Hunt in the first round.
I don't mind it. Like I would probably take Kareem Hunt over Julio. I don't mind it. I mean, this is not going to be a draft that I'm not going to be happy about having a late first round pick in this draft. I mean, outside the top eight, I'm not going to be happy. You know, Odell Beckham, Alvin Kamara, there's a big drop off after that with Julio, Kareem Hunt. I mean, maybe not a massive drop off. Michael Thomas is very solid. I like him a lot, but I'm not going to want to have a pick, at the end of the first round, especially in a 12 team league, because I don't want to be stuck with having to take Julio, you know, at 12 or Keenan Allen, as good of a season as he had last year. But there's also a couple players on this list that weren't in the first round that I think are borderline first round players, like Christian McCaffrey. I think this one we talked about, I think him and Leonard Fournette, both not in the picture as far as first round. And you can make the case that both are as valuable as Julio. I mean, so that's what I would look at. I'm not going to want to have a pick in the late part of the first round for sure.
Yeah. Would you agree that this top eight is one of the best top eights you've seen in quite a while? Because usually it's like the top three or four, you know, after four, it's a drop off. I mean, we get a full eight picks in the first round that seem pretty studly.
Yep. Because I just don't see the risk in taking any of these players. Usually most years there's some risk involved. I mean, Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, David Johnson, Hopkins, I mean, with Deshaun Watson, you know, Zeke, Odell. I think the only somewhat risky player in that whole list is potentially Odell Beckham, given his off-the-field stuff, his contract situation, his injuries, the Giants' new head coach, the you know, Eli as their quarterback, not knowing what's going to happen there. So I think Odell Beckham is the player that I look at and say, you know, I'm not going to want to take him in the first round. I think 7 is a solid spot for him, but he's one of those players that I just don't want to end up with him.
Okay, and then just real quick analysis here on the next 12, which is starting at pick 13, Dalvin Cook, AJ Green, Melvin Gordon, Mike Evans, Leonard Fournette, Gronkowski, Melvin Ingram, Devontae Freeman, Devontae Adams, Christian McCaffrey, T.Y. Hilton, and Tyreek Hill.
Oh, Melvin Ingram, defensive player going in the second round.
Mark Ingram, there we go.
Well, I think it's a really bad second round, first of all. I think T.Y. Hilton is terrible. I would not want to have T.Y. Hilton in the second round. He shouldn't be there. Not crazy about Devontae Freeman. I think he probably is a second round pick, but again, not someone I'm crazy about. Mark Ingram, if it's just him and Kamara going into the season, I guess you'd have to say, based on what he did last year, that he's going to be good, but still not crazy about taking him in the second round. Just not a lot to really love there. I think Dalvin Cook is going way too early. I think 13 is too high for him. I think AJ Green and Mike Evans are two potential steals.
Yeah, I agree. And Melvin Gordon, I think. I mean, Melvin Gordon is not the type of running back maybe you want to get in the first round because of injuries and so on and so forth. But if they don't address that running back situation again and he's a clear workhorse and you get him in the second round, I mean, you got to think that that's a pretty good deal even when considering the risk factor.
I think the number one steal through, you know, with these two rounds is Christian McCaffrey going at 22 with no Jonathan Stewart. And you know how it is. They'll probably bring in another running back to vulture carries from McCaffrey. But McCaffrey, the ceiling that he has as a playmaker and as a PPR monster, You have to like that. He's got a solid floor, and he's got a lot of upside too entering his second season. So I think he's a player that you'd feel good about taking. You'd be excited to take. And I do like Davante Adams a lot as well. So yeah, that's my take. I mean, Dalvin Cook number at 13, way too high.
Agreed. Way too high coming off an injury. But that's our take. That's an early mock from them, of course. They're going to have many more. We're going to have many more. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the NFL Talking Heads. We will be here all offseason. We hope that you had a successful 2017 season, winning some fantasy football championships, and we will be back soon.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Try saying that three times fast. With your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull. We'll catch you next time.